You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Richard Justice and Allison Footer.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com with my colleague Richard Justice. Richard, I wanted to not be discussing anything injury-related this time around with the D-backs, but then we had a little Paul Goldschmidt situation. So I guess we're just going to kind of be working on replacements and kind of figure out what to do there just to finish out the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the names come up, Andy Marte and David Peralta and Chase Anderson. I guess when you trade a lot of guys, the upside of that is you get to kind of have a tryout camp the last couple of months. And, obviously there's nothing wrong with that. Goldschmidt going down is one less reason to buy a ticket to see the Diamondbacks because he was the bright and shining light of the franchise. But we move on.
Well, let's bring in Steve Gilbert, the MLB.com reporter for the Diamondbacks. He's been doing this a very long time. So, Steve, we want to sort of break it down. First of all, can you go through the situation that happened? There were a lot of, I think, hurt feelings and a lot of anger that went along when Goldschmidt was hit. And what was going on and what were the circumstances and how legitimate was the anger on either side?
Well, Allison, Richard, thanks for having me on. It's always the unwritten rules that seem to cause problems because they're unwritten and people interpret them differently. But Paul Goldschmidt was hit in the hand. Actually, it was only the second day off that he was given this year, and Kirk Gibson decided to double switch him into a tied ball game in the eighth inning. And when he came up at the score tied, Ernesto Freire hit him with a pitch, and it fractured his right hand. He'll be out for the rest of the season. That left some on the Diamondbacks side saying that maybe they needed to retaliate against the Pirates because, their best hitter, obviously their best player, going down like that. And also, ironically, it was a Pirates pitcher that hit Aaron Hill last year and fractured his hand. So the next day in the ninth inning, Randall Delgado with Andrew McCutchen at the plate missed him with the first pitch, then threw a slider outside with the second pitch, and then hit him right in the middle of the back with the third pitch. Again, we get into these retaliation-type things and who owes who what. McCutchen said after the game he understood that while Freire wasn't trying to hit Goldschmidt intentionally, and I don't think the Diamondbacks felt like he was, he understood the Diamondbacks needed to send a message. But then he had a different interpretation of the unwritten rule, saying that Delgado missing him the first time and then throwing a slider on the second pitch shouldn't have hit him then with the third pitch. So, again, there was a lot of bad feelings left from that series. Nothing happened then in the finale between the two teams. I'd like to think that that it's done now and there's not going to be more of the back and forth. But, these guys tend to have long memories and interpret the unwritten rules quite differently.
Yeah, these unwritten rules are just, to me, they're just, they give credence and permission to grown men to act like children. It seems like the Diamondbacks, they have a little, they seem to be in the middle of a lot of this a lot of times with just their attitude, like, eye for an eye. And, I mean, I don't understand if Freire didn't intend, I mean, it was clear that he didn't intend to hit him. I mean, his comments afterward, he sounded pretty distraught that he did, and then he broke his hand. I mean, just from you being a baseball observer and a baseball fan and a reporter, I mean, do you see where this is justified at all to be just, throwing at guys?
I don't. But then again, the Dodgers, and it's ironic because the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks got into this last year, and the Dodgers were upset that the Diamondbacks threw up and in on, Yasiel Puig and hit him. And while they don't feel that was intentional, they think that, anytime you throw up and in on a guy, that deserves a retaliation. And the Diamondbacks didn't see it that way. So then they retaliated on the retaliation. And then that just led to the big brawl that they had there last year. I think part of the problem and part of the Diamondbacks' image issue is it didn't help that Kevin Towers, their general manager, came out in the offseason and hammered his pitchers for not hitting enough batters and not sticking up to their teammates in 2013 and made it known that that was going to happen this year, that there would be consequences. And so I think that certainly draws attention to it and was something that probably if he had to do all over again, he probably would have left unsaid.
Steve, in looking at the box scores, it's interesting to see the names there. Indurs Inciarte, am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, and they're NC, aren't they?
Andy Marte, David Peralta, Chase Anderson. Who are these guys that figure in for 2015? And Enciarte is a young guy. I take it this is sort of a tryout for him, or will he get to play now that Pollock is coming back?
Yeah, you know, I think that his playing time might be hurt a little bit by Pollock coming back. Again, it depends on what they decide to do at first base. If they play Trumbo over at first base on a regular basis, that opens up a left field spot. I think one of the guys that's really jumped out is David Peralta. Here's a guy that 2 years ago was a pitching prospect and was out of baseball because he, you know, just wasn't effective on the mound. And they gave him a shot as an outfielder, and the Diamondbacks signed him out of independent ball, and now he, you know, set a club mark for the most hits through the first 50 games to start a career. So. He's a guy that really, I think, the last 50 games are important for, because he's someone that they think could be part of their plan going forward. If that is, he's able to make adjustments when pitchers inevitably adjust to him at the major league level. So I think he's a guy definitely keep an eye on. Inciarte has certainly established himself, you know, as possibly a fourth or fifth outfielder, somebody that they like what he brings to the table in terms of defense, and he can hit the ball a little bit.
What about with Mark Trumbo? I guess it's kind of nice now having somebody who has a lot of experience playing at first base. So even though he's been an outfielder for the Diamondbacks, he's an Angel. I guess he plays first base more than any other position. So is he going to be getting a lot of time, most of the time there, do you think?
You know, it's a great question. And as with everything, when you ask him to try to nail down playing time, Kirk Gibson's been kind of evasive about that. He could see some significant time at first base. Certainly he's still a work in progress in left field. That's his defense, as far as defense goes. So the Diamondbacks are trying to weigh whether if he's going to be their left fielder next year, do they need to get him the reps in left, or do they put him at first where he's more comfortable and opens up another outfield spot for some of the younger guys, and it gives them you know, a nice replacement for Goldschmidt in that sense. So I think that's a question that remains to be seen. Jordan Pacheco is another guy that they talked about getting some reps at first base. They picked him up off of waivers earlier this year, and he'll see some time at third and at first. But really, it's going to be, in a large part, Richard used the word tryout camp, but that's really what it is in a lot of respects, is that these guys are trying to play for, or trying to show that they deserve playing time in 2015.
This was a fascinating guy that they got from Martin Prado, Peter O'Brien, and I think some Yankee fans were going, wait, you've been telling us this was our next guy that was going to hit home runs, and now you trade him for a guy who's going to be sort of a super utility player in New York. What do the Diamondbacks think of Peter O'Brien, this guy with all great power numbers in the minor leagues?
Well, Kevin Tower said that they're looking at him as a guy that can catch, and he likened him maybe to like an Evan Gattis type, somebody who's not necessarily great behind the plate, but his offense makes up for whatever deficiencies he might have behind the plate. The Yankees kind of struggled to seem like to find a spot for him, kind of moved him around left field, third base, first base, catching. But Tower seemed committed, at least initially, that he was going to be able to catch, and they were going to have Bill Plummer, who was a former major league catcher who works in their system, go out and work with him for the rest of this year and see if they can't improve his defense behind the plate.
Well, and just let me say, I believe Bill Plummer is a former roommate of our coworker Tracy Ringlesby, so that tells me Bill Plummer is, whatever you would think he would be. Go ahead, Allison.
He has been around and seen a lot in the game of baseball, and so, Diamondbacks love what he brings to the table as far as instructing their catchers.
So has Ringlesby.
We'll be keeping our eye on those fighting Diamondbacks. And we'll check in with you again, Steve Gilbert. Thank you so much for joining us.